out of the mouth of babes come forth truth. And that's what I like. Well, today, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. There's special messages found in God's Word as we're looking together. And I think all the messages, I think the message that Drew preached to me Wednesday night, he did a good job. So if you read the article, you read the big question. When are we going to have fun? That was great. That was revealing. That was truthful. And so I began to look into the text this evening and or for this morning, thinking about the church at Pergamos. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 2 and beginning with verse 12. Scripture says, "And unto the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, which taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in a stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." These words are so exciting this morning to me. Because in light of this, the first one we begin to see is, look at the message to the church. The message to the church is found right there into the angel. Well, you may say, well, what is the message? And I would respond to you, well, why do you need to study the book of the Revelation in the first place? Number one, chapter one said, those who read it and do it, they're going to be blessed. The word blessed could be translated happy. Do you want to be happy? Get in the book of the Revelation. Dig into it. Find out what it means. Live it. Read it. Hear it. You will be blessed. Secondly, it's the Word of God. If it's the Word of God, then we need to eat, digest every little piece of it. So therefore, get into the Word of God. It's a blessing. It's the Word. And do you want to be informed? Do you want to know? Boy, how many people go to the hairdressers wanting to find some good juicy information. Do y'all ever want to get informed or something of that nature? People want to be informed. That's the reason why there's excitement about understanding the Revelation. People want to know the Revelation. They want to be informed. God said in His Word to the church, you read it, I'll bless you. You take my word and digest it, I'll bless you. You read it, you take it, you understand it, I'll bless you with understanding. You'll know what's coming down the pack. Nobody's going to have to come in and try to inform you. So, therefore, he takes us to this church. Goes all the way to Pergamos. Pergamos, large city. A city, the gate for the whole Roman Empire world. Right in there, it was kind of the city that so many people would travel through. Pergamos. Oh, it was a grand city. It was a city with a great library. It was a city of many temples there. It was a city of beauty. It was a city of wealth, but it was also a wicked city. To the city of Pergamos. It was a city that later became one of the part of the Roman Empire. It was a city that had emperor worship. But all of these things put together, I just want us to understand that God has a message not only for the church, but the church inside of the city. Secondly, I want you to see something. I want you to see the message and where it's coming from. The message is coming from, verse says, these things which saith he that hath a sharp sword with two edges. Now, when you look upon the Lord Jesus, you're not seeing this big, sharp sword coming. It's talking about the Word of God. That's Jesus. He's speaking the Word of God now to the churches. He wants you to understand, but wait a minute. Who is this guy speaking? Is he the babe in a manger? Or is he the Christ sitting upon the king on the throne in heaven that Stephen looked up to say, do you see him as a baby or do you see him as the King of Kings? Oh, look at his feet. Look at his feet. What? How do you see his feet? Are they kind of dusty? Are they kind of dirty? Are they just walking around? Or do they have a nail pierced through them like it was on the cross? How do you see his feet? Oh, wait a minute. Do you see his feet as pierced, or do you see his feet as shining brass? Do you see the feet that's going to rain forth judgment? And these boots are made for walking. You know what I'm talking about? Those boots that he had, those polished boots, they're made for walking. How do you see his feet? But look at his eyes. Oh, I know they looked at over Jerusalem and there were tears coming out of his eyes because Jerusalem, he loved them so much. Or, wait a minute. Do you see the weeping eyes, or do you see the burning fiery eyes that can look through and penetrate and see and know and understand? Do you see him? Oh, look at his head. His head. What do you see? Oh, do you see this little baby child, or do you see a king with a royal diadem? Look at it. Look at his head. Do you see his hair matted with blood because of the thorns, because of the crown? Or do you see the grand diadem, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do you see him there? How do you see him? Do you see his face calmly, one time beaten, as nobody would understand it and see it, didn't even recognize him? Or do you see his countenance brilliant and as bright as the morning sun? You see all of those things in Revelation chapter 1. You see, what we're talking about here, the messenger is not the messenger boy. We're talking about the messenger. We're talking about the king. We're talking about the one who rules and reigns. We're talking about the Lord Jesus. And when he speaks with power. But wait a minute. The message from the Christ, he goes to us and he gives them to the words. The message of commendation. I need your microphone turned on, buddy. The message of commendation. Boy, he says, I know your works. Boy, when I come down here, it's dangerous, okay? I know your works because I'm going to walk over to you and I'm going to say, were you in Sunday school this morning? Were you in Sunday school, Miss Kat? What did they teach? Just give me one thing that come out of Sunday school class. Just one thing. Put it in here so I can hear it. Help her think, guys. I know. I made a blank. Can y'all y'all know what was taught in the Sunday school class?
It's about when you're in hard times to trust in the Lord.
Oh, right. It was talk about in hard times you trust in the Lord. Isn't that amazing? I know your works. Because you see, it was in hard times. They came together in this group in hard times to trust in the Lord. But some of you, some of you were here yesterday, and there was angel food. Tina, what did y'all do yesterday?
Work.
What'd you do? Did you pass out food?
Yes.
Was your daughter there?
Yes.
Did she help you?
Yes.
All right. You know, I know your works. See, it's kind of something very special, unique. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot this morning, but I want you to know that God knows your works. We even had a guy that drove up yesterday on a motorcycle. Didn't have any skin of anything on his teeth. But I mean, he drove up with his motorcycle. He needed a windshield washer because it was foggy. And he said, hey, look, can I help you out? Y'all had plenty though, didn't we? And so therefore he's able to go home. But what was he doing? What was you doing yesterday, Mr. Walter? Let me just come over here.
Angel food.
Angel food. What'd you do?
I got a blessing by serving food that people need.
Wow. 63 people at least. Wow, isn't that amazing? And even this guy over here, I know your works. What'd you do yesterday while everybody else was working?
Trying to keep the preacher out of trouble.
Oh, trying to keep the preacher out of trouble. Amen, buddy. You'll get a reward in heaven for that. Did you cut the grass yesterday? He sure did. Sure did. Now the point is this. There was Paul. He was doing it. He was helping me. And all you guys, what did y'all do this week? God says, I know your works. On Wednesday night, Landon came. Hey, Landon, did we have fun Wednesday night? We did, didn't we? We had fun Wednesday night with Bible skills. And so much is going on around here that people don't know, don't see. But I want you to know, God knows. He says, I know your works. Because by the way, when you start talking about I know your works, do you know where this was? The Bible says, I know your works. I even know where you're staying. I know where you're dwelling. I even know where Satan's throne is. Because you see, what God has done for us, He's put us right here in the middle where Satan is the prince of the air, the god of this world. And where did He put our house? He knows where Satan's throne is. He knows it. He knows it. Now, do you want, if Satan was built a throne next door to you, Eddie, would you want to move? Would you want to go to another city? You want to get out of town? These guys couldn't do that. Wow. Would you want to move if Satan built a throne right next door to you? Would you? Wait a minute. Now, you think that through now. I see a bunch of heads doing this. Yeah, I want to get out of town. But what did the Lord Jesus pray about? Did the Lord Jesus pray to you not to take you out of the world, but not to be overcome by the world? The greatest place of ministry is right there at the gate of hell. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail. So you don't want to move. What do you want to do? You want to be where God wants you to be. And here's the message I got for you. That's what He's saying right there to the church at Pergamos. And what does He say? He says, the Lord says, I know the works of your hands. The Lord knows your permanent dwelling, because thou hast hold fast my name. Now that's the question. Brother Tony, have you hold fast the name of God in the midst of the time of this sickness that you got? Amen. He's holding fast. You got a serious disease, don't you, brother? God's going to heal him. It's serious. But he's got to hold fast. I got to hold fast the name of Jesus Christ. I can't just allow people to walk over me and walk up. I got to stand up. It's time, folks, for us to start reclaiming some name of the Lord Jesus. We don't have to let the world push us over and through and down. We don't have to. That's the reason why He says right there in His word that He is going to hold fast thy name, and the Lord knows where Satan's throne is. It says in the scripture, even where Satan's seat is. That was a kind word, but that word seat is throne. So that Satan's throne is right there. And He says, I've not denied your faith. Hey, look, if the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to stand up and be strong, we cannot deny Him. What do we have to do? We have to stand up against the drug lords. What do we have to do? We have to stand up against the alcohol lords. What do we have to do? We have to stand up against the abortionist lords. What do we have to do? We have to stand up against those who are teaching false doctrines and teaching against them. We got to stand up against that. Why don't we reclaim our country? Why don't we reclaim? And by the way, folks, we also need to recognize there's a lot of good things going on in our country. Sometimes we can tell you, I guarantee you, I could get any one of you in there, and y'all could give me a list of 20 things of what's bad about America. But now, wait a minute. You know what God wants us to do? He also wants somebody to stand up here and tell me 20 good things about America. Tell me 20 good things about what the church is doing today. Tell me 20 good things that our government is doing. Tell me 20 good things. We got enough negative going on. We need some folks with some positive. Why don't somebody tell me what's good? That's what He wants. He says, look, I know you've got hard times. I know that Satan's throne's there. But listen, I put you there, and I put you there with a reason and a purpose. It's time for us to reclaim and start saying some good things about some people. That's the reason why Drew's message to me was like a rocket. And all of a sudden, I started looking for good things. I saw a miracle yesterday. I saw a miracle. We had as few people that we've had, I think I'm right on this, we had as few people as we had in Angel Food. And you know what? It was a blessing of the Lord. Because it all went smooth, it was happy, it was fun. And what we said was this: God, this is us. This is us. You be glorified. And I've never seen it go so smooth. down the line. We had a few hiccups along the line. But you know, it was smooth. What is God teaching us? God's teaching us, look and let me bless you. There's some neat things happening. Boy, down my road, Kelsey's coming. Brother Hugh. Kelsey's coming. And you know what? When I drove up one day and she walked up to the back of the truck and we just talked there for about 2 or 3 minutes. And this, she went on her merry way. That's the most words I've ever heard her say. You start looking for those things. God blesses. Those blessings are all around us, but we don't have a tendency to look because what we wanted to have a tendency to say, well, Satan's throne is right next to me and, oh, Satan is tearing me up. No. Let's talk about victories. Man, these victories around us. And so therefore the scripture brings out, let's talk about what God is doing and let's lift it up. Let's raise the flag of Jesus Christ. He knows you. He knows where you live. He knows He wants you to celebrate. He knows the suffering that you've been through. He knows all these things. But now, wait a minute. When we start talking about those good things, I guess I can put this thing down. When we start talking about all those good things, the Lord says, wait a minute, something else I want to talk to you about. He says, there are some of you among here that are messing around. And if you start messing around, then He says, I've got a word for you. What are you talking about? Verse 14 says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold to the doctrine of Balaam. Now, what is the doctrine of Balaam? The doctrine of Balaam, this was this prophet. This prophet of God who Balak wanted to come and wanted him to speak hard words or curse the children of Israel. And he brought money. And Balaam said, let me go pray about it. Now look, if God's word says don't do something, you don't do it. You don't even need to pray about that. If God's word says, I heard a preacher the other day, he said, preacher, I want you to pray for me right now about tithing. He said, what? He said, man, I ain't going to pray for you about tithing. Because he says, when I close my eyes, I'm standing in the presence of a thief and I don't know what you would steal. Hey, God already said in His book, we ought to give Him the tenth. So therefore, what do? We don't have to pray about things that God has already said. Hey, it's in His word. We don't have to pray about that. But what did old Balaam do? Balaam came along and said, hey, let me go pray about it. God said, don't do it. Boy, they came back with another foreign emissary and they came back with more money. Another bucket of money, said, look, you come go with me and you put a curse on Israel and all this money and all this power and all this prestige is going to be yours. Man, that prophet. That preacher started saying, ching, 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 ching. Let me go pray about it. And so he went and prayed about it. And then all of a sudden God said, okay, you go, but you do, you say what I say. He took off riding his donkey. And as he was going, all of a sudden this donkey saw something out there in the field that he didn't see. The donkey ran off in the field. Man, old Balaam got mad, got off and started talking to that donkey the way you talk to donkeys. He started talking to that donkey and got back on him. And he started riding a little bit further. And got in this closed area. You had two walls there. And this donkey saw something he didn't see. And he crushed him into the wall and crushed his leg. Got off that donkey. Started pick up a rod. Started beating that donkey. And all of a sudden that donkey opened up his mouth. Said, hey boss, what's the deal? And I've been good with you boss all these years. Yeah, but you shouldn't have ran off in that field. My leg's still hurting when you crushed. Why'd you do that? Because that donkey finally reached a point, he saw something, he just fell down. And man, that prophet got off and all of a sudden, that donkey says, if I hadn't done this, you'd been a dead man. And the Lord opened up his eyes and he saw the death angel with his sword drawn. If Balaam would have crossed by there, Balaam would have been a dead prophet. What's the moral of that story is? A donkey's got more sense than a prophet, just mind that's focused on money. Balaam, what is he talking about? He's talking about covetousness and compromise. You've got the doctrine of Balaam. And so what have you done? You've compromised, you've coveted, and then you've got the sensuality that's there, carnality, this lust, and all of these things. You've got the lust of the flesh, but then he says, not only that, he says they taught the doctrine, stumbling block before the children of Israel, verse 14, but he goes on and he says, who taught Balaam a stumbling block? Oh, by the way, I got to get to the point. Point is, what did Balaam do wrong? God did not allow Balaam to curse Israel. So what did Balaam do? Balaam says, look, I can't curse him, but for the right price, I'll tell you how you can defeat him. All you have to do, see, this nation's a pure nation, and all you have to do is take some of your beautiful Moabite women, walk them in front of these Jewish men, and when they marry them, then they will become impure, and you won't have to lift your hand, but God will punish them. And what did God do? That king walked his beautiful women in front of them. These men looked upon him. They married those Moabite women. They married those women, and then they became impure, and God punished them. Our country is in a sexual revolution, but it's going the wrong way. Anything you want to see is on the internet, on a commercial on TV. You don't have to put it in a magazine anymore. All you have to do is just watch the commercials. And many men and women are folding to that pressure, and they say, well, I can just live any way I want to, and then I can just go to church and everything's hunky-dory. It's not. It's not. And so, therefore, with these sexual desires, he went on to say that also that you cause eating things sacrificed to idol. Eating things sacrificed to idol meant this. Meant in these great temples there in Pergamos, what the head was, many times they would somebody would take a sacrifice, and they may cut a little hair off or a little piece off and give it to the priest, and they burn that in the fire. And then they take the rest of this animal, the rest of this meat, and they take it, and they would say to the people of the town or their friends, say, hey, look, we're going to have a party. And so everybody, we're going to have a party to Zeus. Y'all come over, we're going to have a Zeus party. And they'd come and they'd eat and they'd have these little tall stemmed glasses and they'd all come together and they'd have this big party in the name of Zeus. Well, what's wrong with that? They were honoring the god Zeus. What were Christians doing? Christians would say, well, look, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. Let's just go. That's the in crowd thing. That's what everybody's doing. So let's go down there and have a little fun with them. Is that where a Christian's supposed to be? Becoming like the world? Where people can no longer tell what a Christian is? Because this is the world, this is the Christian, and they're going and doing the same things. So therefore there's no difference. God said, sacrificing idols, you are bowing down and you are participating in the worship of false religion because everybody else is doing it. Compromise. Compromise. And then there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then there's the pride of life. And the pride of life, it goes on to that last phrase where he says to sacrifice unto idols and to eat and to commit fornication. I think committing fornication is sex outside of marriage. Do I need to say any more than that? I believe that's enough, isn't it? And so therefore, don't compromise socially, don't compromise scripturally, don't compromise physically. And he went on one step further in verse 15. He says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Now the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is this. Nicolaitan, Nike, victory, laos, people, victory over the people. There was a group of people who were now saying, look, if you want to know God, you got to come to us. You don't come to us, you can't know God. It went on and developed in so much that some were saying, look, we have the power to cast people into hell. We can excommunicate, we can damn souls, we can forgive sins. You've got to come to us for your prayers to be heard. You've got to come through us. And this group of people said, this is the only way. And God says, I hate that. I hate that. Because the priesthood of believer says this, you as an individual who know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can go straight to the throne of grace and you can let God know your heart. He will forgive you. He will bless you. He will encourage you. He will help you. You don't have to go through any human being. You go straight through the throne through Jesus Christ. Don't let a group of people sabotage your faith in Christ. Now, after he said these words, he told the complaint there, and he went through a series of things that he told them that was wrong, but then he goes on to say in verse 15, verse 16, he says, repent, therefore, repent, or else I will come against you. Here's the message of choice. The message of choice, change your attitude toward Christ, change the way you're walking, or I'm coming after you. Listen, folks, change your attitude, change your walk, or I'm coming after you. You have a choice. You can compromise, and if you compromise and you don't repeat, I'm coming after you. You can become sensual and sexual in the wrong way, and you can compromise it. And look, he says, I'm coming after you. You can become socially acceptable with the world, denying your state with the Lord Jesus and your spiritual walk with him. And he says, I am coming after you. And when I come after you, I'm coming after you with the Word of God. You have a choice. You have a choice. You can repent, change your action, get back to the first love, get back to what God has called you to do, or else you will fight. You'll either fight with the Word or you'll fight against the Word, and the choice is yours. And then he gave the message. The message of the call was this, that God, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit. The message of the call says this, God has created you with the spiritual capabilities so that you can hear, understand, and perceive the speaking of God to you. You can do that. God created that. And if you have that capacity, he that hath the Spirit, let him hear. It's not just hearing saying, oh, that was a good message. It wasn't, oh, that was a good scripture. It was, oh, that is God speaking, and I'm going to do something about it. Let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Then, the message has choices. Here's a call of the Holy Spirit. And then he comes to the message to conquerors. The message of conquerors is this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Hey, what's the manna? The manna is angel food. What is the manna? The manna is what God fed the children of Israel for 40 years out in the wilderness. Where is the manna today? The manna's in heaven because it's angel food. And God says, I will provide the provisions for you that I have provided for the angels, and I will give you the provisions fit for heaven. Not only that, I'll give you heavenly provisions. I will also give you what? The scripture says right there. And will give him a white stone. Now, what is this white stone? There's many interpretations of this, but let me give you the short version. The white stone would be a huge diamond. Ladies, would you like to have a large white stone, commonly known as a diamond, presented to you from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for you to wear? And with that diamond, it will signify you have a proper relationship. And with that diamond, it will signify that you are forgiven. Men, this is also for you. And with that diamond, it will signify that God loves you and He cares for you. And with that diamond, it will signify as though it was a stone in the Urim and the Thurim upon in which the priests used to ask God questions and get answers. That stone would signify that you have communication with the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and He will hear your prayers. He will reveal unto you life. He'll give you a stone. Not only that. Not only that, but he says something else. He says he'll give you a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. A new name. A new name. No man knoweth. If I said Whitey, do y'all know who I'm talking about? Most of you don't, but if you know my brother's name, Whitey, little family name. If I said Pumpkin, do you know who I'm talking about? Well, most of you don't know, but that's what I used to call my, I still do, call my daughter sometimes. I call her Pumpkin. I know, you know, everybody's got these little twerk names. But God is loving you so much, He's going to give you a name that nobody else knows. And when He speaks your name over the billions of souls, the people saved in heaven, when He speaks your name, nobody's going to know He's talking to you but you. Nobody's going to know that name, that precious new name, because that's your name. And when He says it, you know that's the Lord speaking to me. He's going to give you a name. It's going to be a new name. Precious name. Relationship name. So, what does He tell us to do today? We all have choices. We all got a call. He wants us to band together as a body. And He wants us to know and do what's right. He wants us to live right. He wants us to live with the Word, not against the Word, because the Word will crush you. He wants us to live for Him and be called out different. Don't follow the way of Balaam selling out to society. Don't follow the way of the sacrifices selling out your religious faith. Don't follow the way of fornication selling out to the sensual society in which we have. Don't sell out, but stand tall. Reclaim ground that has been lost for you. Let's pray. Jesus, let us stand tall for You, Lord. And in the state of Pergamos, we could see there was an unholy marriage that was there. The marriage of the church to the state. And God, You are very disappointed with that. So Lord, today, we want to pray, God, help us as individuals to repent. All of us have areas in our lives that we need to make right with You. Father, I pray that during this time, we will make those things right. In Jesus' name.